It's the old radio comedy podcast.
It's episode 65 of season 2 in time for another classic comedy radio show from the golden age of radio. Shoutouts today to Gina Thompson, Kara Tolley, Kelly Pruitt, Babs Lucky, and Jonathan Miller. Thanks for the great comments. My Favorite Husband is one of my favorite old radio comedy shows, as it is a lot of people's, and it was the precursor to the television show I Love Lucy. It starred Lucille Ball and Richard Denning as George and Liz Cooper, originally the Cougats, a bank vice president and his wife who lived in a typical suburban neighborhood and explored the daily adventures and misadventures of their lives. Also starring were Hans Conried, later Joseph Kearns, later Gail Gordon, as Mr. Atterbury, George's boss, B. Benaderet as Mrs. Atterbury, Ruth Perrott as the maid Katie, and Eleanor Audley, originally B. Benaderet, as George's mother. It ran from July 5, 1948 to March 31, 1951. Sit back and relax for the January 7th, 1949 broadcast of My Favorite Husband.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, it's the new Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, brought to you by the Jell-O family of desserts.
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings. Yes, sirree.
And now Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. Every day in each American home, an old native custom takes place, an ancient tribal ritual called waking up in the morning. Now, everyone has his own interpretation of how this should be done. For instance, at the Coopers, George opens his eyes, bounds out of bed, flexes his muscles, and says,
"Oh, I'm glad I'm alive."
And Liz, not to be outdone, opens one eye, looks around, and says,
"I wish I was dead."
And then the daily ritual settles down to serious business as George Cooper is faced with the problem of getting Sleeping Beauty out of bed.
Come on, Liz. It's time to get up.
Yeah, I am. Just one more.
Come on now. Katie's getting breakfast. It's 7:45.
Uh-huh. Yes, dear. All right.
Well, why don't you get up?
Why don't you get lost? I'm practically dressed.
Oh, sure. How can you sleep so long? You must be part bear.
I am not. I'm wearing my long flannel nightgown. Here I come, George. I'm getting up right now. 1, 2.
Come on now, Liz. I'll pull the covers off.
Oh, just one more minute.
I'll tickle your feet.
I'm up.
Get moving. I'll pour cold water on you.
No.
I'll get my camera and take a picture of you and your curlers and cold cream.
I'm up, so help me, I'm up.
That works every time.
Have you started breakfast yet, Katie?
No, Mrs. Cooper. Why?
Well, I'd like an extra special breakfast for Mr. Cooper. I have a favor I want from him. I have to borrow some money.
Money?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then I'd better serve breakfast on the paper plates. You can't throw them so far.
Yes, and they don't hurt so much when they hit.
If it's just a little money, I could lend it to you, Mrs. Cooper.
No, Katie, this is serious. It's my January budget. I made a New Year's resolution not to go over it, and it's all spent already.
But this is only the 7th of the month.
The 7th? Say, that's pretty good. I usually spend it by the 5th.
Can't we avoid a scene with Mr. Cooper?
I don't know how.
I know. When I get my salary, I'll lend it to you until next month.
Katie, your salary was in the January budget.
I was afraid of that.
I only wish he'd broken one of his resolutions, and he wouldn't have any right to be mad at me.
What were his resolutions?
He resolved not to drop any ashes on the rug and to clean out every ashtray he uses.
Well, that's not so easy, you know.
I know. It would be even harder if he smoked.
I forgot that.
Well, I'll just see if I can get around him by being so sweet and loving he just can't get angry when I tell him.
That's like holding out a handful of grain to a turkey just before you chop his head off.
Liz, are you out in the kitchen?
Oh, there's the old gobbler now.
Honey, George!
Breakfast about ready?
Oh, just about. Oh, George, I'm so lucky to be married to you.
Yeah, you're right. But what brought this on?
Nothing. Nothing. It's just that you're so wonderful. Give me a big early morning hug.
Okay.
Oh, hold me tighter. Tighter. Tighter.
Oh, but Liz.
Go on. Pretend I'm a sack of walnuts and crack my shells. Oh, kiss me, George.
Oh, you talked me into it.
George. Your kisses are just as good as they were 10 years ago. How do you do it?
I keep them in a deep freeze.
How about me, George? What do I kiss like, hmm?
Give me another sample and I'll tell you.
All right. Well, what do I kiss like?
Like you were over your January budget.
Know, don't you?
I don't believe it. You used all the money I gave you for this month, and January's only a week old. How could you do it?
Ooh, I'm a stinker.
Liz?
George, put down that knife.
Huh? Oh. Come here, Liz.
Yes, sir?
In 7 short days, you've spent all the money for all our bills for a whole month?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to hear a reasonable explanation of that.
So would I. Can you think of one?
What happened to the money, Liz? This is serious.
I know it is, George, and I'm sorry, but you know how bad I am at mathematics.
You must know what happened. Now we'll start at the beginning. What was your first mistake?
Not paying attention in 7th grade arithmetic class.
No!
I
mean after that.
Not paying attention in 8th grade arithmetic class.
Liz!
George, put down that knife!
Now answer my questions.
Yes, sir.
Did you at least pay the January bills?
No, sir.
The December bills?
No, sir. Ask me if I paid the October bills.
Liz, did you pay the October bills?
No, sir. At least not all of them.
Wait till I put this knife out of my reach.
Yes, sir.
Now, which ones?
I'm not sure. I have my own system for paying bills, you see.
I'm a fool to continue this conversation, mm-hmm. But what is that system?
Well, I take the bills and divide them into 3 piles.
Oh. Due, overdue, and not due yet.
No, have to pay, ought to pay, and doubt if I ever will pay.
If they ever hear about this at the bank, I'm washed up.
Now, when I sit at the desk, I put the have to pays to my right and the ought to pays to my left.
What about the doubt if I ever will?
I just throw those over my head onto the floor.
Oh, well. Ask a silly question.
Yes, sir.
Now you've got the bills in 3 groups. What do you do then?
Well, I pay the ones on the right. Then if I have any more money, I play eeny, meeny, miny, mo with the bills on the left.
Mm-hmm, logical. How does that work out?
Well, I'm usually all right through eeny and meeny, but when I get to miny, there isn't any mo.
Oh. Well, that system leaves you with a pretty sloppy living room, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, what happens to the bills that are on the floor?
Oh, I pick them up according to a system developed by Hoover.
Hoover? The president?
No, the vacuum cleaner.
Liz, if you don't mind my asking, on what do you expect to run the house for the rest of the month?
George, if you don't mind my asking, give me some more money.
Liz, I'm going to teach you a lesson. No matter how much sacrifice I have to make, we'll get by the rest of the month without any more household money.
Oh, George, don't be silly.
No, I was never more serious. It'll teach you a lesson. We have a roof over our heads, and we'll get by on whatever food there is in the house.
Oh, I wish you'd told me that before I went to the grocer's yesterday. They were having a sale, and I made a wonderful purchase.
Well, we'll be eating it for the next 3 weeks. What did you buy?
6 cases of beans.
Beans? Oh, Liz, you hate beans, and so do I. Why did you buy 6 cases?
Well, it was such a bargain, I couldn't pass it up.
Oh. Well, you'd better develop a taste for them.
George, you're not going through with this.
I certainly am. We spend no more money for the rest of January.
Oh, dear.
Well, goodbye, dear. I'm going to the bank. Come on, give me a kiss.
All right. Wait a minute. This is strictly business, George. Now, I'm talking to you as a banker. I'd like to make a loan on 6 cases of beans.
Yeah, I'm sorry, madam, but your credit is no good.
Oh, you're so mean. George Cooper, you're a fiend.
And not just an ordinary one. I'm a new man, Liz. Meet George Cooper, king of the fiends.
Meet Liz Cooper, queen of the beans.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
Hi, dear.
How'd things go today?
Just fine.
Didn't have any trouble getting along without cash, did you?
None at all.
What's for dinner?
I have the menu right here. Bean soup, bean salad, baked beans, and for dessert, bean meringue pie.
Oh. Why didn't I think of this earlier?
Do you want to back out?
No, it isn't that. I had beans for lunch. Hey, honey, I'm home.
Hi, dear.
How'd things go today?
Just fine.
What's for dinner?
Bean burgers. And for dessert, a bean sundae.
What's that? Ice cream with beans over it?
No.
Beans with ice cream over it?
Don't be silly. That would be beans a la mode.
Well, what's a bean sundae?
Beans with beans over them.
Oh. Hey, honey, I'm home.
Hi, dear.
How'd things go today?
Just fine.
What's for dinner?
How would you like a nice, juicy sirloin steak?
Liz, you didn't manage to get one.
That's right, I didn't. We're having beans.
How are you fixing them tonight?
Oh, you'll love them, George. We took the beans and froze them into the shape of little hats. They're called beanies.
Well, if the food is going to be bad, at least the jokes could be better.
Yes, sir. You know, George, you could put an end to this as quick as you started it. Come on, let's go out and buy dinner.
No, sir. I'm seeing this thing through. As a matter of fact, I'm not very hungry. I had a big lunch.
George Cooper, did you spend money for lunch?
No, Mr. Atterbury paid for it. We were entertaining Mr. Taylor. He's the president of that factory they're building, and he'll decide which bank they do business with.
Oh, never mind the details. What did you have?
Oh, pork chops.
Pork chops.
Yeah. 2 big, thick ones.
Oh. George. George, tell me. Does meat still taste the same?
Liz, let go of my lapels.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I lose my head. The mention of meat upsets me.
Yeah. Well, if you must know how it tasted, Liz, it tasted like beans. Everything does.
George, I don't want any dinner either. Let's do something tonight. Can't we go to a movie?
Yeah, sorry, that costs money. Of course, maybe we could get a pass to the legitimate theater.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. What's playing?
The late Christopher Bean.
Never mind. We could play bridge with the Sturmses.
No, the way you play, that costs money, too. Of course, we could stay at home and play B-knuckle.
George, that's not funny. Why does everything have to cost money? I'll put on the radio. It's the only thing that's free, and it'll take my mind off beans for a minute.
Silly beauty beans.
Turn it off. This is a conspiracy. Well, we'll just stay home and look at each other. That ought to be pleasant.
Well, you don't have to sound so hopeless. Hey, whatever happened to the fine art of conversation?
Conversation? Why, George, we couldn't possibly have anything to say to each other. We're married.
Nonsense. We'll just sit right down and have a very interesting conversation.
All right, George. Let me get settled. All right. You start.
Okay. Let's see now. You start.
No, you start.
Well,
That sounds fascinating.
Well, it's your attitude that's killing it. Before we were married, we never had this trouble. Oh, Liz, remember how we used to park up at Inspiration Point?
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes we'd stay there till 2 a.m.
Yeah, I remember.
I don't recall that we were bored with each other's conversation then.
I don't recall that we did any talking at all.
This is more like it.
Yeah.
Oh, what fun we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the time I took you skiing and we were snowed in at that lodge? And the fun we had until they rescued us? What's the matter, Liz?
You never took me skiing in your whole life.
Uh-oh. Well, remember...
Do you mind if I put on the radio, Mr. Cooper?
So remember those big red letters on the box.
What happened? The lights went out.
And the radio went off.
Oh, we must have blown a fuse. I'll go and see.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I know. George, how soon do they shut off the electricity if you don't pay the bill?
Liz, don't tell me you didn't pay the light bill.
All right, I won't tell you. Now I don't know why they went off.
Oh, fine. Now we're going to be without lights the rest of the month.
Oh, George, you're not going to be that stubborn, are you?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry, Liz.
All right. I'm going to get into bed, turn on the electric blanket, and stay there for 3 weeks.
You'd better take a hot water bottle. The electric blanket takes electricity.
Well, that settles it. Well, there's only one way to keep warm and occupied.
What's that?
Let's go out in the car and neck.
Liz and George will return in just a moment.
When the United States was still a young and growing nation, there came forth from all parts of the country idealists to create utopia. For example, there was John Humphrey Noyes, who dreamed up the Oneida Community in New York in 1847. It was designed to do away with sin and greed. In order to keep the community alive, small manufacturing industries were started. By 1880, the community living plan had died, and the industries had grown to great proportion and nationwide reputation. Even though John Noyes' idea had backfired, his efforts provided a contribution to American industry. Another idealist who seemingly had in mind the health and happiness of Americans was Henry Clubb. About 1855, Mr. Clubb got the idea that people would be healthier if they were vegetarians. He thought they'd be happier if they lived in octagon-shaped houses, on octagon-shaped parcels of land, in octagon-shaped cities. Unfortunately for Mr. Clubb, he decided to establish Octagonal City, the center of the Vegetarian Settlement Company, in a pretty dusty spot in Kansas. After one look at the hardships to be encountered on the barren plains, nearly every one of the subscribers to the vegetarian community went back to the non-vegetarian East Coast. One after another, communal living experiments bloomed, faded, and disappeared. There were the Shakers, the Separatists of Zoar, the Rappitite Harmonists, Brook Farm, and many others, all planned toward better living and better people. Dreamers of the American dream can't be judged merely on the basis of success or failure, for failure can show people of the future what not to do. American men and women built the United States into a great nation because they conceived their ideas and tried them out. This is indeed part of the great American dream, a dream which has become a decisive reality.
Now, back to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning. Liz Cooper has already spent all her household money for January, and much to her surprise, George is making her get along as best she can without any more money. Well, at the last reading, they had been eating beans for a week, and now the electricity is off. Liz is beginning to crack under the strain.
Oh, Katie.
What's the matter, Mrs. Cooper?
What next? Now we're all out of candles.
Oh, why does Mr. Cooper have to be so stubborn?
Because he's a man.
I know. My first husband, Clarence, couldn't be rushed into anything either. He took me out every Thursday night for 7 years while we were engaged.
Every Thursday?
Yes. Then we got married and we didn't have anything to do on Thursday night.
Oh, Katie. Katie, I just thought of a plan. I'm going to charge some groceries and tell George I found the money in an old purse. I'll call Rafferty's Grocery. They carry everything, and they always have such good stuff.
Rafferty's Grocery and Delicatessen. You can eat it, drink it, chew it, slice it, or smell it. We sell it.
Oh, hello, Mr. Rafferty. This is Mrs. George Cooper. Yes, I need a lot of things today. Send me 6 lamb chops, 2 potatoes, corn, peas, sugar, bread, butter, and milk. Oh, and charge it. Now, did I forget anything?
Yep, you forgot to check your husband. He stopped your credit.
What? Well, if that isn't the dirtiest trick, the nerve of him thinking I'd charge something behind his back.
Yeah, too bad, too. Got some wonderful specials. Could give you a real goodbye on beans.
Oh, no. Goodbye, Mr. Rafferty. I'm just going to call George up and give him a piece of my mind. Maybe that's George now. Hello, you no-good skunk.
This is the operator.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry.
Your phone is being disconnected.
Just because I called you a skunk? I said I'm sorry.
We will resume service as soon as your overdue bill is paid.
Oh, where will this end? Katie, they've disconnected our phone. Well, if that's the way they're going to act, what's the name of this phone company? I'll take my telephone business to someone else.
Mrs. Cooper, you can't do that. There's only one phone company.
Well, I'll think of something. I'll get a carrier pigeon.
Get 2, one for messages and one for dinner.
I knew it. They called to apologize. You're too late. I've decided to use pigeons.
Liz, what are you talking about?
It's no use, George. You can't talk to me. They've disconnected the phone. Hang up.
Now, wait a minute. I'm at the phone company.
Oh.
Everything's all right, Liz. The electricity will be on in a minute, and your credit is good at the market again.
What brought this on?
I'm calling a truce, just for tonight.
Oh?
Yeah, you know that fellow Taylor I told you about.
Yes.
Well, I'm bringing him home to dinner. He's very important to the bank. We'll see you later.
Wait a minute. I'm mad at you.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it later, Liz. Goodbye.
But, George, I... Oh, darn it.
What's the matter, Mrs. Cooper?
Oh, he makes us stick to this ridiculous business until the minute he wants to impress someone. And then he gaily calls a truce. Well, I'm going to fix him all right.
How?
I'm going to pull a fuse and keep all the lights off. And I'm going to wear my oldest dress and pretend we always live this way. And guess what we're having for dinner?
Oh, no, Mrs. Cooper.
Oh, yes. Get me some sticks and some glue. We're going to have bean on the cob.
Well, here we are, Mr. Taylor.
Well, I must say, Cooper, you have a nice-looking place, but are you sure your wife is expecting us?
Oh, I'm sure she is. Why?
All the lights are out.
Well, we're probably dining by candlelight.
Well, it's wonderful. I can't wait to get a home-cooked meal. You know how it is when you're traveling. Nothing but beans, beans, beans.
Oh, you don't need to worry. We won't be having beans tonight. Hey, honey, I'm home.
That's funny. No lights, no candles either.
Probably a joke of hers. Liz is a great little kidder. Yeah, the lights don't work. Liz, where are you?
Yeah, I'll light a match.
No one here.
Yeah. There's something moving in the corner.
Liz, is that you?
George, you've come back. You haven't forgotten your poor starving wife.
What?
Did you bring some food? A crust of stale bread? A glass of warm water?
Have you gone crazy?
Yes, I think I have. Why wouldn't I? Cooped up here for years with no lights and no food. I'm going mad!
Well, this is most peculiar, Cooper. Is this some kind of a joke?
Yes, of course it is, Mr. Taylor. Liz, why aren't the lights turned on?
Lights? Oh, that's that new invention you told me wasn't perfected yet.
What are you trying to do?
Who's that with you?
Oh, now stop it, Liz. What will Mr. Taylor think?
How do you do, Mr. Taylor?
Hello, Mrs. Cooper.
Tell me, Mr. Taylor, what's it like out there?
Out where?
Out there. I've been cooped up here so long. We can't afford a newspaper, and I never get to the movies. Tell me, what happened to Dewey?
He lost.
Oh, dear. I was sure he'd take Manila.
Oh, Liz, cut it out. And why have you got on that old house dress?
Oh, George, how can you say anything unkind about this dress? Don't you remember? I wore it 10 years ago when we were married.
Now, Liz!
I'm very sentimental about this dress, Mr. Taylor. It's the only one I've ever had.
Liz, stop it. Look, Mr. Taylor.
Don't speak to me, you cad.
What?
I simply can't believe that a vice president of a bank would treat his wife like this. And personally, I wouldn't do business with a bank that has an executive like you.
Bless you, kind sir.
This whole thing is a very unfunny joke my wife is pulling. Now, I'll get our maid and she'll tell you just what's going on.
You keep your wife in rags and you have a maid?
Oh, she isn't really our maid. He just calls her that.
She is, too. Katie, would you please come in here?
Coming.
Katie, I want you to tell this gentleman what's going on in this house.
All right. But first, what about me, son? Didn't you bring some bread for your poor old mother?
Oh, no!
George, you're not mad at me, are you?
I haven't decided. Now let me go to sleep.
Well, you'll have to admit I gave Mr. Taylor a beautiful steak dinner.
Oh, sure. After you had your fun.
Well, maybe you won't be mad at me when I tell you I've got my accounts all straight. I don't owe a cent to anyone.
I'm afraid to ask, but how did you manage that?
I wrote an article and sold it to the daily paper.
An article?
Mm-hmm.
What about?
100 different ways to fix beans.
You have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Tonight's program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The part of Katie the Maid was played by Ruth Parrott. Lucille Ball will soon be seen in the Paramount picture Sorrowful Jones. Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband next week. Bob Lamon speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That was the episode Over Budget Beans from My Favorite Husband. Remember to consider adopting a special needs pet if you're thinking of adopting a dog or cat. We'll see you here again on Monday for another classic comedy radio show. I'm Greg Fordyce. Thanks for listening.
Hello, you no good skunk.
Yay!